Good morning, party people, and welcome to Office Hours, the show where you post your SQL Server questions at the URL that's in the video's description, and then I go through and answer the most highly upvoted questions. And there are some really good questions inside here. I probably sound a little different. I'm a little thicker with congestion. Boy, it's been really rough allergy season here in Las Vegas. We just had a lot of dry, then we just had rain, which ended up causing other problems. Just been coughing like crazy here. And I know it's not COVID. I tested negative for that twice now, but just, God, I feel like my head is a block of snot. So I end up not taking any drugs. I end up taking Dayquil or whatever during the day because I don't like being stupid. Remain that I don't be like being any more stupid than I usually am. And I find that stuff like Dayquil make me feel kind of stupid. I do resort to NyQuil at night just trying to get enough sleep. So the first question we have here is from Gustav, who says, "Hi, Brent. We recently migrated to SQL Server Managed Instance General Purpose, and I noticed that the default blob storage is pretty crappy. It's like 500 IOPS max. Would splitting the database into multiple files increase read and write performance?" Okay, so in theory, yes, but remember that you're also on general purpose. And I'm going to say something kind of weird. Most SQL servers out there don't care about performance. What? I know it's true, though. Most SQL servers out there, they're just like, get it done for as cheaply as... The managers are like, get it done for as cheaply as possible. And let's be honest, managed instances is not really as cheaply as possible. So companies are already spending a lot of money by the time that they get to managed instances. So a lot of folks just don't care about storage performance, or they have CPU bottlenecks instead. They don't care about high availability. You don't get great high availability and disaster recovery options with general purpose. So the thing that I would say is, if you're really truly only on general purpose, the first thing you go look at is, what's your top weight type? And well, even before that, are people complaining about performance? And if they're not complaining about performance, don't go look for ways to spend more money. If they are complaining about performance, then go look at your top weight type and then make diagnosis and make changes based on that top weight type. Don't go looking to spend more money on storage just because you think it might be slow, because storage is really expensive up in the cloud. Next up, Paris asks, is it normal to get corruption-like errors if you stop a running CheckDB? Let me rephrase that question. If I hit cancel on something, am I likely to get errors? Yes. What'd you cancel it for? If you need to get accurate information from a process, don't cancel it, right? That's not like rocket surgery. Next up, Mank DBA asks, "Hi, Brent. Over the years, have you ever felt like blogging and giving back to the community for free has been a thankless task, especially if people are mean to you?" So for a while, there are times when that is true. There are times in my career where I go, oh, man, nobody's really ever saying thank you. But then I go down to my garage where I have a Porsche Speedster replica, two Jaguars, a Ferrari 328, and a Range Rover. And I take a drive in one of my cars and I go, y'all paid for that. And I am endlessly thankful for that. Like, y'all give me thanks back in the way that matters a lot to me. Sure, you don't stop and say thank you, but you do it by buying the training courses and buying my consulting. And that's freaking amazing. Not a week goes by. I didn't want to say a day because days do go by. But not a week goes by where I'm not like, man, my viewers are amazing. And so viewers, readers, you know, I think of it the same way. And so that motivates me to go, I want to go do an Office Hours. I want to go update the first responder kit. I want to go write a blog post, because it's just like, how can I keep giving back as much as I possibly can for the fact that y'all put a roof over my head? It is just utterly amazing and humbling. And I am thankful for that constantly. It's just, I pinch myself all the time with that. Len asks, what criteria do you use for tables that need more or less statistics updates, and which tables need a full scan versus a sampled scan? So the crappy thing with SQL Server, or one of the many crappy things with SQL Server, not that it's a bad product, I love it, but one of the crappy things with it is that if you have 10 stats on a table, you have to scan the table 10 times in order to update all those stats. So what I encourage people to do is just only do sample or only do stats weekly, if not even monthly. If you're under the kind of shop where you can't afford to do stats every day and have them updated, that's fine, and have them accurate, that's fine. Just start with weekly or monthly, and then when you're having query problems and you diagnose the root cause to being out of date statistics, then consider stepping up sample or consider stepping up more frequent statistics updates on those tables. But what I find is a lot of people, they do statistics updates every night, and that they think that this takes too long, so they can't do full scans, so then they do sampling. So what they're doing is every day they're getting radically different statistics because it's getting sampled each time. So every day they get radically different query plans, and they can't figure out why performance is so unpredictable. True story. So I had one client who came to me for consulting because they were having the problem of, oh my God, we can't understand. Performance is all over the place. It's every day. Some days are great, some days are terrible. And in looking at their data, I have clients send me data when we do a sales call. I looked at their data and I'm like, well, you're doing stats updates every day and you're doing sampling, you know, on me asking them back and forth. Nothing in their plan cache was older than a day. I'm like, how about you just turn the stats updates job off for 3 days and see what happens? And so they did it, and they're like, oh my God, performance settled down. It's kind of predictable now. And I'm like, okay, so we're troubleshooting a different problem now. You know, now that tells me that maybe you don't even want to hire me for consulting. Maybe you might be okay with that, and we could go from there. But for me, it's much more about toning down the overall rapidity of stats updates, and then only when if you say that you want to pick specific tables, pick the tables where you've identified that the root cause of bad query plans was out of date statistics, then go from there. Most people don't need to do that. If I had to guess, I'd say 95 out of 100. What's that, 19 out of 20? I probably just should have said 19 out of 20. 95 out of 100 people don't need to go to that level of detail. But if you do, then that's how I would go about that process. Next up, Namor says, how does the Postgres learning track compare with SQL? Is it Postgres DBA learning track compare with SQL Server? This is one of the questions that I looked at before we started this stream. And I was like, this is such an amazing question. So let me take you back to 2006, I believe. Windows Vista had just come out, and MacBooks had switched over to Intel processors, two things that seem kind of unrelated. Windows Vista sucked so bad, and I had wanted to learn Linux for so long that I said, you know what? I'm going to switch. I'm going to jump off of Windows. I know it's going to suck, but I'm going to switch over to Apple Macs because they're based on FreeBSD. That way, I can start to learn FreeBSD because I'll need to do things at the command prompt. That'll force me to learn things that are like Linux. I worked with Unix way back around high school days, but it'll force me to really relearn Linux, FreeBSD slash Linux, and then I'll be able to gradually move over to a real operating system, Linux. You know, back at the time, these were candy-colored fruit machines, and they weren't really seen as powerful. So I thought this will just be a stepping stone temporarily. And you know what happened? I didn't need to learn anything at the command prompt. Like, the one thing that I had to learn was how to flush my DNS cache, and over time, I didn't even have to use that. I don't remember the last time that I went into terminal. Like, I know, oh no, to launch Python. I was working with Python at one point, trying to play around with artificial intelligence image generation. So I never ended up learning Linux. I didn't have to learn anything at the system level. Now you're like, okay, Brent, what does this have to do with SQL Server and Postgres? When Richie and I decided to build SQL Constant Care up in the cloud, I said, we're going to use Amazon Aurora Postgres. It's where Amazon manages a lot of the database administration stuff for you. Because I didn't want to be stuck being on call if all hell broke loose in the database. And you know what? I haven't learned anything about Postgres database administration, about database administration. I've learned a little about querying and a little bit about execution plans and a little bit about indexes, but you know what? I haven't had to learn it. Just like I haven't had to learn Linux in order to do really well with Apple MacBooks. So in terms of, am I saying that database administration is dead? If you're doing production database administration, backup, troubleshooting why the clustering is down, security configuration, things like that, a lot of that is dead when you switch over to things like Amazon Aurora. Same thing with Azure SQL DB. I don't mean to minimize Azure. I just happen to prefer Amazon for most of the work that I do. So I haven't had to learn it. So that's also why you don't see me putting out any Postgres database administration training classes, and you never will. There's a chance that I might do Postgres developer training, like how to write queries, how to performance tune queries, but that wouldn't be until probably late 2023, if that. I mean, it just isn't something that's really high on my radar right now because I suck at it. And I don't want to be the kind of person who teaches something that I don't intimately know. Like, I want to really know it forwards and backwards. So it's a really great question. I just wish I did had. I'm glad I don't have a better answer there. That's really interesting. All right, so we'll stop there for this episode. I'm just going to go and record another one right now because there's so many freaking good questions inside the queue. Thanks for hanging out with me, and I will see y'all at the next office hours. Adios.